Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
And then I got the call from the doctor and said, Dave, you have lymphoma. It is a rare form. It's very difficult to treat. You need to hurry. We did not freak out.
When you got the phone call,
No, here's the thing. When Jesus gives you his peace, he gives you a good thing.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, I'm Meredith Foster. Dave Butts was in the middle of writing a book about peace when he found out he had stage 4 incurable cancer. For most people, that news would rock your world and challenge your faith. But Dave had been on a journey. God had been speaking to him for over a year about peace and how peace is a gift that Jesus wants to give every one of us, a gift that's not diminished by circumstances. If you deal with anxiety for any reason, you're going to want to hear Dave's story. This is chapter 11 of Epic, Dave Butts' story. When you look back over your life, were you a particularly anxious person?
I wouldn't think that I'm a particularly anxious person. However, I can become very intense. And sometimes it's difficult to know the difference. Because anxiety you think of as worry. Intensity you think of as focus. But sometimes there's a carryover. Those who are very, very intense can become anxious about details, you know, because I want to get this done. Mm-hmm. So therefore, don't bother me here. Don't do this. You know, or, oh, this is messed up. And so there is that aspect. The only other thing for me that I looked at through the years is that occasionally, and this bothered me, I would have trouble with sleep, feeling anxious at night. Not about anything. It was not about anything particular, but I would suddenly feel like, I got to get up.
Like,
I can't lay down here.
That sounds like panic attack.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. It would be a mild form of that, absolutely. And the worst part of that as a Christian is I felt guilty for having a panic attack or being anxious. Why would I? Now, again, I had not been studying peace or anything else, but I knew better. But nonetheless, it was there some. And as I dealt more with peace, those began to subside.
Now, you're a type A person.
I am.
Which has its benefits because if you can give just kind of a brief overview of your work life and how you've ended up doing what you're doing.
Well, I am a pastor, though I'm a pastor without a church. 25 years ago, the Lord led my wife and I to form a ministry called Harvest Prayer Ministries. And our focus today is the same thing it was 25 years ago. We want to call and equip the church to become a house of prayer for all nations for the purpose of revival and finishing the task of world evangelism. So we travel all over the world teaching on prayer and writing books and conducting seminars and clinics and networking with other prayer ministries. And it's a super busy life, and I thrive on that. I mean, I love it. I'm traveling. I'm thinking, oh, it'd be nice to get home. And 2 days after I'm home, I'm thinking, it's time to go.
Wow.
I got to get going. So I'm made for this.
Yeah. So that type A personality works well in that aspect.
It really does.
So about a little over a year ago, did you initially write a sermon about peace? Is that how it started?
Actually, I would go back to spring of 2016. And I was studying scripture, and I began to realize how often peace as a concept was mentioned in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the more that I studied, the more I realized I've not done much teaching on this. And I put together a message on praying for peace, and that started something in me. You know, I had some good response to that message. I continued to study, and I realized there is something here that I need to give myself to, not only my own life, but then sharing with others. And by the summer of 2016, I was very aware that the Spirit of God was saying, you need to write on this. I like to write. And I had before that written, I guess, 10 books.
Oh, wow.
Nothing, no big bestsellers or anything, but, you know, things that can help people in their prayer life. And so by the summer of 2016, I was really starting to pull together, serious way, making notes, putting things together, getting my files together, because that's how I write, is I first of all spend months and months studying an area. By the fall of 2016, I was still studying peace, really immersing myself in it. And by the way, I was doing a lot of that with my wife, Kim. And so we were studying together and talking about this and discussing peace and how important it was, praying over it. But there were some things going on physically at that time. And it was kind of weird. My wife was noticing, she said, your arms, you've lost your muscles.
Really?
In your arms. They look so thin. Are you feeling okay? I said, well, you know, I'm coughing and a lot, and that's kind of a typical thing for me in the fall. I thought it was, once again, my sinuses were acting up and maybe some bronchitis. And so ended up going to the doctor. Doctor thought bronchitis, gave me some medicine. Okay, maybe it's pneumonia. Gave me some powerful antibiotics and had given me a chest x-ray and saw a little fluid on the left side. And came back after 10 days of antibiotics, and the fluid had doubled. They thought maybe it was some heart things. And so I had a heart doctor that was dealing with this and couldn't find it. And then so finally they ended up with a larger CAT scan that showed some enlarged lymph nodes. So they did some biopsy. They did some things. And it took a while, actually. It was interesting. It's actually a couple months of trying to figure this out.
How was your peace level during that process?
It was actually fine.
Oh, good.
Not worried a bit about it.
Okay.
I realized that, you know, the danger of the internet is you have everything open to you.
Yes.
So you start looking at the symptoms and looking at sites and going, oh, that would not be good, you know, or that might not be good. And so Kim and I both realized there were some pretty serious potentials here, but it was time to write. And, you know, we've been studying this, and we flew in January to California. We often go to places where people give us a place to write. And so we got there, kind of settled in, and started writing. And probably the first 4 or 5 days, things were flying. It was really good writing this book on prayer, peace, and the presence of God, because I'm absolutely convinced that this was a great need. And then I got the call from the doctor. I said, Dave, you have lymphoma. And the next day I called back and said, it is a rare form. It's called mantle cell lymphoma. Only about 3 to 4% of lymphoma patients have this. It's very difficult to treat. And, typically we don't find it till it's stage 4. Now here's an interesting thing. We did not freak out.
When you got the phone call, didn't?
No, we did not.
Was there even an initial panic?
No.
Wow.
See, here's the thing, and this is just what I would have to say to anyone, any believer anywhere, is when Jesus gives you his peace, he gives you a good thing. I mean, it's really, really good. We had immersed ourselves in the Word of God for months studying peace.
Yes.
And again, God did not give cancer. Clearly want to say that. God did not give cancer, but he knew what's coming. He knew what's going on inside of me, and he had prepared Kim and I both through his Word with this amazing gift of his peace. So we got this, and it was like we looked at each other and said, well, this changes things, doesn't it? You know? It's just, and so we stopped writing for a while because we actually spent time studying mantle cell lymphoma.
What to do?
What we read was scary.
Give me the quick rundown.
Well,
say?
Well, you know, it basically, at that point, it looked like 3 to 5 years is all you would have of life. And it was going to take a lot of chemo, a lot of money, a lot of, you know, work. Mantle cell lymphoma is funny. It manifests differently in different people, which makes it very difficult to treat. It's not like there's one treatment. And so part of our study was, you know, where do we go? What do we do? Where do we find the best doctors who know this sort of thing? But we didn't go home and jump into treatment. That very next week,
Did you cut short your trip in California?
No, that's what I'm saying. We extended it a week.
Oh, really?
Because we were out there. We were going to write, but then we were in California particularly because that following week was going to be a week of meetings of America's National Prayer Committee. And I've been privileged to serve as chairman of that for the last 15 years. And so Kim and I sat there talking, going, you know, there's going to be 80 to 90 world-class intercessors, international prayer leaders who are going to be there for a week. Do I want to go back and jump into medical things, or do I want to be prayed for by these people?
Yeah.
Man, I went there, and it was extraordinary. I mean, I couldn't turn to the left or to the right without someone grabbing me and praying for me.
Oh, my.
And up front, you know, people praying for me, anointing me with oil. It was a wonderful experience, and then we went home and got back and talked to an oncologist that was recommended to us. You know, he gave us a pretty dire prognosis.
Was he on the 3 to 5 year range? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
He basically said, I wish we could offer you more. He said, but that's really all that we have. He gave me a little bit of hope here. He said, let me call and see if you're interested. And see if they have a clinical trial open at MD Anderson in Houston. He said that two of the top doctors, specialists in MC in mantle cell lymphoma, are there. And so he called right then. They said, yeah. And so we worked through some of the details. We called them, and because we do not have regular insurance, we have Christian Healthcare Ministries, mm-hmm. and that's a wonderful MediShare sort of thing,
yes.
with Christians. And they told us, you know, they'll accept that. We went down there and had a fabulous experience for a couple of days with the medical team. Not so fabulous with the financial team. We discovered that they really don't take that.
Oh.
And they needed a check for over $1 million before they would treat us.
Goodness.
So my check would have bounced. So we could not be treated there. It was just a misunderstanding over the phone. They needed something different. But here was two things happened there that were extraordinary. We met a doctor who's over clinical trials. We just fell in love with him. He was not a warm, fuzzy guy.
Huh.
He was brilliant, though. And he gave us what we needed to understand this disease. But he looked at the PET scan, and he looked at us, and he said, you need to hurry.
You need to hurry. Not the kind of words that would instill peace for most of us. The journey ahead for Dave included chemo so challenging it required hospitalization. For the next several months, his life and health revolved around fighting this cancer. How could you have peace in the midst of that? That's coming up in part two of Epic. Thank you for listening to Epic today. You can hear the podcast of the show and other episodes of Epic at myfaithradio.com. That's also where you can tell us about your story. If God has done something amazing in your life, somebody needs to hear about it. Today, we're sharing Dave Butt's story. He was in the middle of writing a book about peace when he learned he had an incurable cancer, stage 4. Is it possible to have peace when you're fighting for your life? Here is part two of Dave's story.
We met a doctor who's over clinical trials. We just fell in love with him. He was not a warm, fuzzy guy.
Huh.
He was brilliant, though. And he gave us what we needed to understand this disease. But he looked at the PET scan, and he looked at us, and he said, you need to hurry. And we realized, you know, the seriousness of this. And but we discovered a hospital from him in Indianapolis that was affiliated with MD Anderson. Their oncologists were trained. And so this Dr. Hagemeister met with our Dr. Badia in Indianapolis by video conferencing twice a week, and they developed an unusual protocol just for me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I went back to Indianapolis and spent from basically February through June, every third week in the hospital doing chemo and all the things they do. And then we go home for 2 weeks to kind of recover and then back at it again. And I got to tell you, though, that time in the hospital was extraordinary.
And let me ask you this, though. If you're in the hospital doing chemo, that indicates this isn't just regular chemo. That it must have been really difficult, physically challenging.
It really was.
What was that experience like?
Well, it's first of all, I have to say mine was very unusual because probably six times a day, nurses and or doctors would come in and say, okay, how's your nausea? I don't have any. How's your fatigue? Oh, I'm feeling fine. How's your balance? I'm fine. All of the things that you're supposed to have, I didn't have.
At all?
At all. I mean, it was.
That just sounds miraculous,
it
Dave.
It was miraculous.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, by the third day that I had lymphoma, knew I had lymphoma, I was getting emails from around the world of people who were praying. I remember a group of missionaries in Papua New Guinea who said, hey, Dave, we're praying for you that God would heal you. And I was just getting that from everywhere. Now, I don't mean to sound that like this was a walk in the park. It was, I mean, they're poking you, they're sticking you, they're waking you up every, hour. They're putting this stuff in you. It was most inconvenient. It was uncomfortable. Yeah. But compared to what a lot of people go through, this was the hand of God. And so now because of that, here's some cool things that happened. Our room became a prayer room. Kim stayed there with me. They had an extra bed in there. And so visitors would come in and we'd be praying with them. Pretty soon, nurses and technicians were coming in and say, hey, would you pray for us on this? And so we're doing all this. And then in the midst of it, I'm going, hey, I've got time sitting here. I got this book on peace. And so I wrote the book in the hospital. I took this book on prayer, peace, and the presence of God, and I sat in the hospital chair with my laptop and completed it. The only book I've ever written in the hospital. I hope it's the only one that I do. But to me, it lends an authenticity to it.
Yes.
It's one thing to tell people you ought to have peace. It's another thing to be hooked up to really serious chemo with stage 4 cancer in the hospital, and you're writing that, there's some legitimacy.
There is.
To your words.
Puts weight behind your words, yes.
Yeah, so here's this cancer that is considered incurable, that is in your body, but because of the word of God and the promise of Jesus, there was no anxiety or fear. When Jesus said, my peace I give to you, and it's not as the world gives. That's not what I'm giving you. It's my peace. Jesus' peace is not dependent upon situations. It's not dependent upon the environment. It's what the world can offer is a cessation of hostility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that's what the world's looking for. When we talk about peace talks, but the peace that Jesus gives has nothing to do. It is sometimes in the midst of hostile situations like stage 4 cancer, or maybe in people's lives, has to do with relationships that are really tough, or economic situations where you've lost your job and you're trying to figure out how do you pay for your bills, and that anxiety just rises. Jesus says, I want to give you something that'll deal with this. And when Jesus gives us something, he gives us something good, and it's something that's lasting. And you see it actually in the life of Jesus. He's called the Prince of Peace, and you see that especially on that night that he was arrested. And he's drugged before a mockery of a trial, and everybody, they're shouting at him, and they're slapping him, and they're beating him, and everybody in the room seems to be angry and upset and anxious except for Jesus, the one who rightfully should have been anxious.
Yes.
But he's not. There's something inside of him, and it's peace. And that is what he said, my peace, that which is in me is something I want to give to every believer. I want to tell you, Meredith, that's not just for Dave. It wasn't just for me. It wasn't just for my wife, Kim. It's for absolutely every believer, every follower of Jesus. But you have to receive the gift. And for me, what made it so powerful was, in a sense, like I said before, immersing myself in the Word of God, those passages that talked about, for instance, the peace of Christ that guards your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, or the peace that is beyond all understanding. I remember as a kid singing that little song about the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I know about that peace now? I know that I still don't understand it. It's supernatural. It's not something that I simply cultivate. I didn't get this from meditation. Mm-hmm. I didn't get this from some sort of a spiritual discipline, and I believe in spiritual disciplines. But this was a gift, supernatural gift from Jesus that he offers to his followers. And it's astonishing. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that that is for every believer, regardless of the circumstance. And again, I simply, as someone who's dealing with what doctors still tell me is incurable cancer, of course, I tell them, I serve a God who can't even spell incurable, or at least he chooses not to.
Right.
And so we don't focus on the circumstances. We focus on the Prince of Peace.
Do you think that's the key in receiving it? I mean, what you're talking about is really for anybody, the act is just simply to receive the peace that he's giving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's the key in switching your focus from circumstances to him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The scripture says to look to Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let me explain it this way. In one of the chapters in that little book, it's just a devotional, you know, so it's like 30 days focusing on this. Everyone had a verse, and all of them had to do with peace, except for one, and it's from Psalm 23. And it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'll not be anxious. I'll not be fearful."
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, when you have stage 4 cancer, you understand what the valley of the shadow of death is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you are. You're mm-hmm. walking through that. But the psalmist says, I'm not going to be afraid, even in that dark place. Why? Because someone is with me. And that someone has a rod and a staff. The rod is a symbol of a king. Staff is a symbol of a shepherd. That's Jesus. See, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to be fearful because someone is with you. And that someone is the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. It's all about his presence. It's about intimacy with him. So we can look to our circumstances and we will find ourselves fearful, anxious, overwhelmed.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you recognize Jesus said, you don't have to live that way. If you will look at me and realize I'm walking here with you. Okay. It's the Son of God, the creator of all things. He is the all powerful one. And so you're sitting there and you're looking at Jesus and you're thinking, there is nothing that can touch me. And I don't mean that bad things don't happen to you, but you got someone there with you. So when you look and say, ah, the Prince of Peace has chosen to take up residence. He's here. He's not leaving. I have peace. And that peace goes literally right through this life, deals with death, and on into eternity.
I want to talk about that just practically speaking, because you're in remission,
yes.
Right? That's officially in remission, which means there's no evidence of cancer in your body right now.
No visible sign of cancer.
Okay.
It would be considered, you know, below what a CAT scan can reveal.
Okay. What does the future look like? Do you go back in for scans? What is it practically speaking?
Sure. Medically speaking, again, I'm not talking about intervention of God or anything else, but medically speaking, this comes back. Now, There are people who remission lasts for 4 months and then it comes back. There are people who've had remission from this for 10 years, but then it typically comes back. And when it does, they have to come up with another protocol to deal with it, try to knock it down. People do a lot of different things. There is a Facebook group of people who have mantle cell lymphoma. I found that across the board, people call this the beast. And someone have been in remission and they'll say, I'm sorry to tell you guys, the beast is back. You know, now it's hit me. That's what typically happens. I will tell you this, my doctor, who I do not believe is a religious man to my knowledge, and he's the one that gave me a pretty dire prognosis.
Yeah.
And so when he told me I had remission, I said, oh, that's great. I said, now I know that typically this comes back. What will be our plan when it does? And he looked at me and he said, Dave, in your case, I'm not sure it'll ever come back.
Oh, my.
So that was remarkable. It really was. But I'm going in soon for my next, every 6 months, I'll do a CAT scan and check and see, you know, is anything happening here?
And so that's that really practical place where There could be fear as you anticipate that,
uh-huh.
but it hits that guard you're
yeah.
describing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know people listening don't know me, but I'm just Dave, okay? And I'm just like anybody else on this, but I have accepted something that Jesus has given me, and what he gives me is good, and I'm going to hold on to it. And so, no, it's just absolutely no fear in this. There's no anxiety in it.
Can you imagine having no fear? The book Dave wrote in his hospital bed is called Prayer, Peace, and the Presence of God. It's a simple 30-day prayer guide. Dave says his hope is that as people read it, they will immerse themselves in the Word of God and all it has to say about this gift of peace. He says receiving it will change your life. Big thanks to Dave for telling his story today. We would love to hear your story. Share it with us and check out other episodes of Epic at myfaithradio.com. So grateful to Jason Rakow and Ted Ross for help with production. Our show's theme song was written by Stephen Johnson, and I'm your host, Meredith Foster. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.